This afternoon, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verse 14. This is the last of the verses which speak to us of the various titles that are given to Christians who are in various stages of their development as Christians, stages of maturity, that is, little children and young men and fathers. This afternoon we're going to focus on the young men, and we want to learn how to become strong in the Lord. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for this blessed hour where we can gather here to observe the Lord's Supper, where we know that you are here present with us in a special way. Not that you're always, not always with us, you are, but we do give you thanks that there is this special means of grace for us to observe here this afternoon, that you might feed our souls, nourish us in the truth, and cause us to rejoice in all that you, Lord Jesus, have done for us. And we want to do that very thing. So free our hearts from cares, we pray, and help us to fix our heart completely on the grace that will be brought to us in listening to this message. For we pray and ask these things in your dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, I'll read from verses 12 to 14. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Well, we were looking in the last message at titles related to Christian experience in verses 12 to 14, and we looked at the term little children, in which we saw it refers to every Christian in one sense, and younger and less mature Christians in another sense. We must never think that we have attained in this life, but we must build upon what we have already learned by prayerfully pressing on to know the Lord in a deeper, fuller sense. It is good for us if we understand that only Christ can lead us into this experience of spiritual growth. This is why the Apostle Paul prays in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. We also looked this last time at this title, fathers, which John has said, are those who have known him who is from the beginning. We are to call no man on earth our father, Jesus says in Matthew 23:9, and that it's evident that John was using this title in an instructive sense. He's speaking of those who have real, proven character and experience of what it truly means to be a Christian. And they have something to impart to younger believers. Their knowledge and experience have brought them to a level of maturity where they behave righteously and devoutly and blamelessly before others who are children in the faith. But they are also a good example to those who are termed young men here in this passage. This is where I want us to take up our study this afternoon. I want to ask this question. What is true strength in the Christian young man or the Christian who is younger in their faith? I believe that according to these verses, it is having the strength to overcome the schemes of the devil and having the zeal and wisdom to abide in the Word of God. It is, I believe, learning to see through and look beyond the obvious advantages of physical strength and the keen mental abilities which the Lord may have given you to be able to see the true source of your strength, and wisdom, which is from the Lord. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. It says in Proverbs 20, verse 29. And certainly this is true in a physical sense, but we need to observe something more if we would understand the spiritual sense of being strong. Older men are usually the ones who, by God's grace, have had the experience of being tested enough that they have overcome the wicked one. And as we look around us at older Christians, we can see that this is often true. The young men, we can reasonably conclude, are usually the ones who have the physical strength and stamina to endure the onslaughts of the wicked one. But their victory over the evil one will only come about by the cultivation of their spiritual strength in Christ. In any church, both the spiritual fathers and the spiritual young men need to work together to accomplish great things for the furtherance of Christ's kingdom and the promotion of God's glory. So this afternoon, we want to look more in depth at this subject and ask the question, what does it mean to be strong as a young man or as a Christian in general? Our text gives us the following answers. First, to be strong means that you have overcome the wicked one. Second, to be strong means that you have the Word of God abiding in you. And third, to be strong means that you realize your great ongoing battle with the wicked one is to overcome him again and again. I will attempt to apply these truths in relation to the Lord's Supper, which we will partake of here in just a few minutes. First of all, to be strong means that you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 13, in the middle of the verse, John says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, the last time that I preached to you from this passage of the spiritual titles that were given to Christians who are at various levels of maturity, I took you to John 13, verses 31 to 38, and I attempted to show you that even though the disciples had been with Jesus for 3.5 years, that they still did not understand that he was to glorify God by his death. And then when he explained it to them in terms of his going to a place where they could not go, Peter wanted to know why he could not follow him now, at that moment. He asserted that he would lay down his life for his master, but Peter did not know what needed to change in himself before that could happen. He was one of those little children, in the sense that all believers are children. He would grow up in time to be a father in the church. But it was just after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper that he said to Peter in Luke 21:34, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then Jesus said to him, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny 3 times that you know me. And what we need to see from this is that Peter thought that he would prove his deep love and his loyalty for his Lord by his natural determination. He would do something valiant for his Lord. But he little realized the strength of Satan to go about to prove him wrong, to make a fool out of him in his resolution. The devil was going to sift Peter. He was going to test his true spiritual strength, and he was going to bring to him the greatest temptations that Peter had ever experienced in his whole life, in the midst of his masters being arrested and taken away to trial. He would whisper to Peter, do you really want to go through this suffering of being humiliated with your master? Wouldn't it be much easier just to forget about it and go back to being a fisherman once again? He tempted him with the thought, why are spiritual resolutions so hard to go through with? Wouldn't it be easier just to stay in the background and not follow Jesus into this crowd of wicked men? Peter's resolution had indeed been good. But he would find himself failing miserably in the midst of these temptations, and he would deny his Lord three times. He would deny that he ever knew him. And in this way, he would be overcome by the evil one. Why did Peter fail so badly at that time? Truly, he knew the Lord. And he had walked with his Lord closely the whole time of Christ's earthly ministry. But he did not realize until that time the greatness of the spiritual battle which the devil would bring to bear at that critical time in his life. The one who was trying to do something good for the Lord. So you see, in order for Peter to win the battle and to overcome the wicked one, Jesus had to go before him. He had to suffer and die so that Peter could overcome him later on, after Jesus was raised from the dead. How important a lesson this is for every Christian to learn, that Jesus must go before us in terms of our obedience. To overcome the evil one, you must learn to do it in the strength and power of the risen Christ. When I say things like this to you, I'm thinking that some of you may be troubled. You are saying something like this to yourselves: if the strength to overcome the evil one is not in me by nature, and it has not been given to me simply by virtue of my being born again, then how can I obtain it as a Christian? And I say to you, you will obtain this ability to overcome the evil one by praying to better understand the work of Christ on your behalf more clearly. So turn with me over to John 14, and we want to look at verses 26 to 31. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, Jesus is saying to His disciples here, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard Me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love Me, you would rejoice, because I said I am going to the Father, for My Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in Me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave Me commandments, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. Now Jesus is on the verge of going to the cross. And He's trying to encourage His disciples with the prospect of His overcoming the evil one. He would not have them to be troubled, but to pay attention to what He was telling them here. If they paid attention, they would be able to endure all the things that they were going to pass through over the next few days and see true spiritual strength in action. Now I want to focus on this truth, that the Lord Jesus was preparing His disciples for all that was coming. He and the Father would be sending them the Spirit to help them in the future to overcome the evil one. And Christ did not want them to be troubled. He did not want them to be afraid. He was going away to the cross to die. And yet, here He was promising them that He would come back to them. He says that if they loved Him, that they would rejoice when they heard that He was going to the Father, for great things would come as a result for them. And great things would come to us who are here today. The ruler of the world, Satan, is coming to try to destroy Jesus and His works, but he would not be able to do it because of this one phrase that Jesus speaks. The ruler of this world, Satan, has nothing in Me. In other words, there was no sin within the Lord Jesus And thus there would be nothing for Satan to lay hold of in Jesus' heart by way of tempting him, which would succeed. And that is how Jesus overcame the evil one. And this would now lead in this next great step of his ascension to glory. Having finished his work of sufferings on the cross and having risen from the dead, he would ascend in their sight up to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And from that great vantage point, he and the Father would send the Spirit to take his place and his glorious work in our hearts so that we as Christians could become strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. This is how the devil is overcome. By your faith in what Christ has done for you, in his intercession for you, even now, continually applying the efficacy of his righteousness and his wounds which plead for us, so that we know and understand that all of our sins are forgiven, and we are then taught by the Spirit how to do spiritual battle with the devil and overcome. It is by putting on the full armor of God and taking up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we shall overcome. We learn to watch and pray against the schemes of the devil. We learn to watch and pray against the sinful motions of our own hearts. And this is especially seen in the young men who, having all of the physical strength to do exploits of preaching and laboring for Christ's kingdom, raising families to the glory of God, and helping in every way to build the church of Christ, they do not labor in vain. And they do not grow discouraged by the oppositions of Satan, but they overcome him by the power of the Spirit and remembering all that Jesus has done for them. Now, second, to be spiritually strong means that you, as a young man in Christ, have the Word of God abiding in you. The way that a young man overcomes the evil one is directly related to what he does to cultivate his spiritual strength. Spiritual strength will come from exercising yourself unto godliness. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So here we find that a young man, in order to be strong in the Lord, must learn to cleanse his way. He must learn to think about the difference between what is true and what is false, and to hold to the true. And he must take heed, he must pay attention to do according to all that God has written in his word. For by doing so, he will make his way prosperous, and he will have good success. Joshua 1:8. Let me apply this each to our own life. You must think about what is good and what is evil in terms of what you are doing with your time. You are to redeem the time because the days are evil. You will pray to become more discerning about what is most profitable, what is the most profitable way to spend your time. Now, don't think that you're really growing strong as a Christian until you know that you really do love abiding in the Word of God. Ask yourself this: do I really love to pick up my Bible to read it? For there I know I will find food for my soul and treasure for my heart. Do I long to seek to find new nuggets of truth in the Bible day by day? The only way that you will really know your Bible is if you read it. But God would have you to be a spiritual miner and mine the depths of spiritual ore out of it so that your soul is encouraged and strengthened and you are made joyful and satisfied in His Word. See, that's what He's looking for. Are you joyful and satisfied? in abiding in the Word of God? Do you think deeply about what God is saying to you through His Word? Is it your greatest joy to apply the truth to your life? The evil one would lead you to think that your greatest joy is found in some sin or some compromise. Really, you are too strict, the devil says. You are spending too much time in the Bible. How can you be any earthly good if you were so heavenly minded in this sense that you want to read the Bible all the time? You can't be of any earthly good. Well, he tries to attempt to find alternative ways to wisdom and success to give to you, which are those ways which will leave God out and will leave His Word behind. Satan is always questioning the Word of God, trying to get you to question it. Has God said? God knows that in the day that you eat of it, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll become wise like God. See, that's how He tempted Eve. And that's how He still tempts thousands today, both unbelievers and believers. He would have you to disbelieve the Word of God or to neglect it in favor of worldly considerations. That's really the way that it is. That's how we're led astray. We don't abide in the Word of God. And so in order to overcome Him, you must learn to cleanse yourself from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, as it says in 2 Corinthians 7:1. And cleansing yourself from the defilement of spirit is cleansing yourself from worldliness and atheism and agnosticism and all the false philosophies of the world. The way that the young Christian finds success in cleansing their way is by taking heed to God's Word. In other words, the Word is not only to be read, it is to be heeded, it's to be abided in, but it's to be listened to, and it is to be read with a view to doing what it says. Let me ask you whether this is something that you as a Christian are doing. Do you have private devotions in the Word? Do you so read and meditate in His Word that God is speaking to your heart through it, and you are interacting with Him over all the truth which He would give you each day? You see, that's what He's expecting. He's not expecting something hard, but sometimes that's what becomes hard. It becomes hard to find time to spend time with God in His Word. But you see, He gives you your time each day, and you must be wise with it. Are you a tree planted by the rivers of water? That is, the Spirit's opening your understanding so that you'll be wise in the way that you think and in all of your behavior. To really learn and grow, you must abide in God's Word. To really overcome Satan and his schemes, you must take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. To cleanse your way as a young Christian is to deliberately go about to free it from the kind of pagan literature and worldly movies and entertaining music videos, things which may interest you very much, but which will carry you away from God's Word. That's where the spiritual battle is joined, if you really want to know. Where does your heart go? Where is it carried out to? You can only overcome the evil one if you will leave behind the things which the devil promotes, which will divert your attention from the Word of God. So come down front now, and I will have a few more words for you before we partake of the supper. Bring your hymn book with you, and we will be singing hymn number 406, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice. I hear Thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to Thee, for cleansing in Thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless, whole and pure. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. 'Tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. Well, let me give you just a few more thoughts before we partake of the supper. To be strong not only means that you will have overcome the evil one once, but that you will overcome him, learn to overcome him again and again and again. In other words, the Christian life in terms of maturity is in a great measure, it rests upon consistency in doing the right thing. And we aren't always that way, and especially when we're younger in the faith. We're not as consistent as we should be in godliness or in devotion or in obedience to God's blessed word. But listen to verse 14 again, the way that's worded. John has written to you, because you have overcome the evil one. This attainment that he's talking about, this overcoming, is the mindset of humility. It is seeing yourself as needing to be taught by Christ to overcome the devil. You hold fast that mindset of humility. You don't trust in your own strength to overcome. You trust in the strength of Christ, who has overcome perfectly on your behalf, fully, completely on your behalf. You trust in that in order to see trust built in you, to see faith built in you, to see greater obedience built in you. And truly, we need to remember that, because it's usually when we forget that we become a little bit too overconfident in what we already know or what we've already accomplished or what we think that we've already accomplished in defeating the evil one. And something comes up and we are taken by storm and then we fall. Let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. It's a very simple statement, but it's hard to remember at the critical time. And I think it's because we've experienced a certain amount of confidence that comes to us through Christ. And when we have that confidence, then that's good. It's a holy confidence. But it is possible to fall even from a holy confidence if you don't maintain this mindset of humility. You see, a Christian is not deceived by false doctrines when they're walking in the Spirit and paying attention to the Word of God. They're not being led astray to spend the majority of their free time in entertainments of the world, which please their flesh. Instead, they are abiding in God's Word. And this is where the Lord's Supper comes in as a means of strengthening you in all these good convictions that we've spoken of here today, which characterize a spiritually strong young man. It is Christ who has overcome the evil one at the cross, and He came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. And so we need to pray, as we partake of this supper, to see our utter dependence upon our Lord to overcome the devil in the thousand temptations that He will bring to us over the course of our life. Remember now that there is more than enough strength in our Lord Jesus to overcome Him. But let's not take that for granted. Abe, would you give thanks for the bread?
Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son perfect into the world, Lord, to be the only sacrifice that could save us from our sins, Lord. Lord, we thank You, and we thank You for this reminder of Your death on the cross and the present reminder of our need, continual need, for that blood that flowed from Calvary to cleanse us each and every day, and for the future, future that we will have with You, Lord. Please keep us present. Keep this in our minds, in the forefronts of our minds, each and every day. Humble us, recognizing all that we have is from You.
Yes, Father.
And all that we do is to glorify You, Lord. Please bless this token in Jesus' name.
Amen. For I received of the Lord that which I also have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and after He blessed it, He broke it, and He said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Brian, would you give thanks for the cup, please?
Lord, we do give You thanks for this simple token, for the token of that which is of the greatest value in heaven and earth. Lord, we thank You for the blood of Christ. Thank You for the sacrifice of the Savior. Thank You for Your love for this fallen world.
Yes.
And Lord, help us, Lord, as we partake of this, to remember this and much more of what our blessed Savior has done and is doing yet. We pray in His name.
Mm-hmm. Amen. In the same manner also, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in My blood, which is given on behalf of many for remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of Me." Well, let's stand together in closing, and we'll sing the last two verses of hymn number 406. It says, "Jesus, who confirms the blessed work within by adding grace to welcomed grace where reigned the power of sin." Let's sing this together. It is Jesus who confirms the blessed work within my adding grace to power of sin. I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. And He, the witness, gives to loyal hearts and free that every promise is fulfilled if faith but brings the plea. I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Amen. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father, we have partaken of this supper in remembrance of You once again. And we go forth from this place rejoicing that You are the one who cleanses us from every spot and stain. But help us to keep our garments. Help us to walk with You in white. Help us to live with Your Spirit working in our hearts and realizing that we need You at every moment of every day. Keep us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. We pray that You will Yourself guide us into all the truth, using the means of this truth that we have heard about this afternoon and how we can be strong to live to Your glory. We pray that You will bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You are dismissed.